Pinto. And I heard Joel Heitkamp and Jack Michaels talking about this morning on News and Views on this very same radio station. But think about what might be setting up in terms of sports for the next several weeks, okay? NDSU men's basketball team is the number one seed in the Summit League tournament, favored to win and go to the NCAA tournament, correct?
Correct.
Okay. The UND women's basketball team is going to win the Big Sky, correct? They've clinched a share of the Big Sky conference title, would be possibly favored to win the Big Sky tournament and go to the NCAA.
Okay.
The men's basketball team at UND, second place in the Big Sky conference, possibly could, has a chance to go to the NCAA tournament, correct?
Okay.
Men's hockey team at UND, despite being ranked ninth in the country, on a pretty good run right now. I think they lost on Saturday night, but they've won like 16 of their last 19 games, some crazy thing like that. So if they get in a run, they could make a run and make the run at the national title.
Okay.
Don't smirk. There's no punchline coming with the UND hockey team. You're acting like I'm going to make a joke at Dave Hackstall's expense here.
Wow.
I'm not. I'm being very serious.
Okay.
What was your favorite She Says moment? That was my punchline for the day already. But think about that. If everything goes right, you could have NDSU's football team winning a national championship in football.
Right.
Could have the men's basketball team going to the Big Dance. Could have the men's basketball team in Grand Forks going to the Big Dance. Could have the UND women going to the women's Big Dance. And if Hackstall's team keeps its stuff together, they could win a national title in hockey.
That's all we do in North Dakota.
That'd be a pretty good year in collegiate athletics for the state of North Dakota, don't you think?
All we do is just win in North Dakota. It's all we're about is winning oil and farming. That's all we do here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I got nothing. I got nothing for that. Women's basketball team at NDSU sort of left out of that discussion, but that's a whole different story. But that's not a bad sports year. If all or most of that comes true, that's a pretty good year for North Dakota.
I didn't realize the UND men's basketball team was doing that well in the Big Sky.
I think their overall record is a losing record, but I think that they've rebounded nicely in the Big Sky Conference.
And they're athletic. I mean, you saw what they did against NDSU.
Yeah, they beat the heck out of NDSU.
18-point victory.
Something like that. Yeah. So that's something to keep an eye on, just something in your little sports head to keep straight. Folks, welcome to the second hour of the Mike McFeely Show on the Mighty 790 KFGO. We need to start talking about some far more serious things than bouncing basketballs and rolling hockey pucks. We need to talk about Ukraine, because it is a mess. In fact, it's such a mess that Anderson Cooper is now in Kiev, which means things are going down now in Ukraine.
It's serious now. I mean, Anderson Cooper is kind of the bellwether of things.
If Anderson Cooper shows up in your town, you know things have gone to hell in a handbasket in a quick hurry. The voice you heard is one very familiar to the Mike McFeely Show. He is Thomas Ambrosio, professor of political science at North Dakota State University, and our international expert. Hello, doctor. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm cold, miserable, cranky, angry because I was in Florida last week at this time.
But you're tan. Well, so that's pretty good.
I tan easily, but thanks for noticing. and we joke about Anderson Cooper being in Kiev, but it is bad. This is not a good situation. What's the latest that we know going on in Ukraine?
Well, yeah, this is actually worse than I thought it would be. Of course, since last I was on here about a week and a half ago, the president of Ukraine has fled to Russia, and the Russians are now decided they want parts of Ukraine now. Hmm. And essentially, Russian troops and also contractors, some people without insignia on their uniforms but carrying Russian weapons, have basically taken over the peninsula of Crimea, which is a key naval base for Russia. It also is a very interesting place because it's predominantly Russian populated. So it's one of the parts of Ukraine that's completely or mostly Russian.
Now, Vladimir Putin is sort of couching all of this as, well, I'm trying to protect Russian interests, right? I'm trying to protect Russian people.
Right.
And that's why he's doing this. But that's really not why he's doing it, right?
No, I mean, there's another short dictator who made a statement like that about German people once, but not to raise the World War II specter, of course. But no, essentially that's what Russia is doing. They're saying that, first of all, they said, we're not doing anything. And this is the very typical Russian pattern. They say, we're not doing anything militarily as they start moving troops. And then they're like, oh yeah, the troops are there. I guess so. And we're there to protect Russian citizens from fascists and anti-Semites and all this other stuff.
Ultra-nationalistic force is the word that Putin used.
Yes. They like to use that term a lot. even though Russia, Putin is kind of aligned with ultra-nationalists in Russia, they don't like ultra-nationalists in other places. Yeah, essentially what's happened here is that Putin's using excuses, and some of them are really bad excuses. Some of the propaganda coming out of Russia is just really funny, showing this one, you know, the Russians fleeing across the border as refugees, and in fact, it was a normal traffic stop on the border between Ukraine and Poland. They actually just used the wrong footage.
Yeah, okay.
So always be careful when you're using your stock footage for propaganda purposes. So right now, Putin has control over Crimea. And the question really becomes at this point, where does he stop? Does he begin moving into eastern Ukraine, where you also have predominantly Russian population? And we know that there's been military movements, a snap military exercise, quote unquote, that just happened to happen to occur unannounced right on the border with eastern Ukraine. So that becomes a real question of whether or not they begin moving in further.
So if they do, I think the question everybody wants to know, aside from all the geography and the Crimea and all these things, is this going to blow up into something much larger than Vladimir Putin moving into Crimea and Ukraine?
I don't see the United States getting involved militarily. We don't have a treaty with Ukraine, unlike, say, Poland, which is part of NATO. And I don't think that we want to start a conflict in that nature. However, I think that this creates a real, a different kind of vibe between us and Russia. In 2009, we wanted to have a reset with Russia. We were going to be their friend. You know, George Bush was out of office and everything was going to be wonderful. And I think it's pretty clear we've had a reset. It's just that Putin's the one who hit the reset.
Nobody ever likes Russia, do they? I mean, we're never going to be friends with Russia. Nobody's ever going to be real friends with us, are they?
I think we could have been. It was a very short window early on, but no. I mean, I think the thing we have to understand is that Russia's going to act in its interest, and Russia sees Ukraine as part of its own country. Putin said as much to George Bush, said Ukraine isn't even a real country, especially the Crimea area, the Crimea Peninsula, which was given to Ukraine as a gift in 1954. By Nikita Khrushchev.
Oh, sure.
It was part of the Russian Federal Republic, and then he just said, oh, this is a nice gift for you to mark the 300th anniversary of our uniting between Ukraine and Russia. So if you don't see someone as a different country, then it makes it very easy, at least in your own mind, to decide to use military force.
Sure. Dr. Thomas Ambrosio is our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. If you have a question regarding Ukraine or anything else going on with Vladimir Putin right now, please give us a phone call, 237-5948 or 800-880-5346. Or you could text message us at 35270. Please include the word Mike so I know it is directed at me. Now, if we go back in time to the week and a half or so since you were here, this is really maybe in the bigger picture a battle between East and West, correct? The European Union and Russia, and there's much more going on here like there is in every world situation. Right.
Ukraine is really a piece of this kind of puzzle between what is Russia? Does Russia see itself as an empire? Does Russia see itself as kind of a neo-empire? Not a real empire, but a kind of a neo-empire. And to some extent, Ukraine is kind of that toy between Europe and Russia. And when you had the revolution in Ukraine just last week, it was clear that Ukraine wanted to go westward. Well, Putin wants to make sure that some of those territories don't go westward, that they go eastward into him.
I'm going to take a phone call here from Kurt. Kurt, you are on with Tom Ambrosio. Go ahead.
Yeah, Tom, I just tuned in a little bit ago. Did you mention talk about Hitler moving into the Sudetenland, the German-speaking country, and kind of taking that over at one time?
Sure. I mean, obviously the context is completely different. I don't think we're going to see a world war out of this in any way. But I think there is certainly some of the language we're seeing is very similar. You create a crisis in a territory. You say we're going in to protect the people that don't really need protecting. The people in Ukraine or the Russians are treated with respect.
Right, but they're Russian speaking people, and like you mentioned, they kind of view themselves as Russians in the first place. So it's a easy way to, like I call it, that your own country and just kind of seed them into your country. Is there a book or something that you know of that would help a person understand this whole USSR and breaking up? And
oh, wow.
Complicated.
Well, it is kind of complicated. I'd have to think about that. I would give Mike some suggestions. Maybe he could put up on his website.
Oh, that would be great. I'd sure appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Kurt. Appreciate that. So what is our reaction? President Obama, again, as the President of the United States, Tom, has had to say, you can't do that. And you go any further, there's going to be a consequence to this. John Kerry's going to be in Russia tomorrow.
I did not hear that.
What was that? No, I thought that he was. I thought that.
Or if he's flying over, I did not know.
No, then I'm wrong. Then I misread what I said.
That's possible.
No, I doubt it. But so what are we going to do about it?
Well, we are actually talking about a series of things. I mean, some of them are simply symbolic. So we're not going to go to the G8 summit. In fact, it looks like the G8 summit in Sochi is going to be canceled. Or just the Russians will show up by themselves. We also may be talking about economic sanctions against Russia. I think we're also going to constantly hit the idea that this is illegitimate and that this is an act of aggression by Russia. But again, our options are limited, and actually Europeans want to do less. Angela Merkel came out and said she wants a fact-finding mission in Ukraine, which means that we don't want to do anything. That's, I guess, a German translation for that. We're not going to do anything because we get a third of our gas from Russia, our natural gas. So, you know, it's cold in Europe, too, and they need their natural gas from Russia. And this is the problem, is that the Russians have a great deal of leverage over the Europeans. And added to that, the idea that Europeans are really almost incapable of acting without American leadership. And when American leadership is kind of a little more questionable or a little more restricted, then Europeans are simply just going to kind of not quite roll over, but they'd be kind of rolling over.
Actually, Kerry's going to be in Ukraine tomorrow.
Oh, okay. He's very interesting.
To Kiev. So all options are on the table is what John Kerry says, which means what from our perspective? We're not going to send troops to the Ukraine. My God, the Russians will go crazy. We will have a world war.
Right. We're not going to risk Kansas City for Kiev. It's that simple. I mean, there's no way we're going to do that. So ultimately, we're going to kind of hem and haw, but there's very little we're going to actually do. We may start sharing intelligence with the Ukrainians, but so far, the Ukrainians have not put up a fight for their own territory. Now, this is going to be interesting if the Ukrainians decide to actually fight. So in Crimea, the Russians have taken over without a shot being fired. Now, some Ukrainians don't really consider Crimea their own territory anyway because it's all Russians, or for the most part. But if the Russians begin moving to eastern Ukraine, that's really where the rubber hits the road.
Tom Ambrosio, NDSU political science professor, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. We are talking Ukraine on the Mike McFeely Show on this snowy Monday afternoon, March 3rd, 2014, on the mighty 790 KFGO. Dr. Thomas Ambrosio, our guest. He is our specialist when it comes to international hotspots. We love having him in. Text message comes in, Tom, and says, does the doctor foresee another Cold War or the return of the Cold War?
I think we're going to have a cool war with Russia. I think that, all right, the idea even that we could be somewhat friends with them has been moving away for some time. And I think we're getting to a situation where Russia is going to become increasingly a problem for us in our foreign policy. And in particular, Russia as one power, but also China as well. So I think we're going to deal with a very different world than we were before. One in which we had primacy, where we were in charge from the 90s onward. And now one in which things like this happen. I mean, if China decided to go into Taiwan, what would we do? That creates a rolling problem in which our credibility gets hurt. And then that makes us look weak, which means our credibility gets hurt even more, which makes us look weak. And then people take advantage of that. It's a vicious cycle until there's kind of a new kind of equilibrium.
Does the rest of the world see us as the power we once were or the power we are? Or do they look at Russia and China and say, these guys are the future of the world?
Well, I certainly think they don't see us as the power we used to be. I think that the glory days of the 90s are certainly behind us, and that you know, we have to deal with kind of this new reality. I mean, America is weak. I mean, we've lost a lot of allies here and there. And then, again, there's not really much we could do. If I was to advise Obama in terms of Ukraine, I probably wouldn't tell him to do anything much different than what he's doing now. It just looks bad. It makes us look weak because America's supposed to be able to stop these things. We haven't seen naked aggression like this in Europe for quite some time. You know, again, going back to World War II.
Yeah, I think it probably was, right?
You know, and the situation in Yugoslavia was just kind of a mess in general, but really true aggression, you have to really go back to World War II for that.
How much business do we do in Ukraine? And could it affect the ag economy? Could it affect prices of grain? Could it do any of those things?
It could affect prices of grain, which actually would be good for the United States.
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Unfortunately for us, or fortunately for us, but unfortunately for the people in Ukraine. We do business with Ukraine. And actually, one of your callers last week, a week and a half ago, had said, or had talked about North Dakota ag business doing business in Ukraine. So this could affect, because their economy is going to, of course, collapse for the most part. And they already had serious economic problems, and I wouldn't invest in Ukraine right now because you might be investing in Russia in a week from now.
Yep. Dr. Thomas Ambrosio, our guest on Mike McFeely's show. So what's going to be the resolution? If we don't get involved, and we shouldn't get involved, but at the same time, do we stand idly by and watch people possibly again be overrun by another? That's the question that you and I always seem to toss
right.
back.
It always is this issue.
Is what role do we have when it comes to the world stage?
I think our role really has to be symbolic at this point, has to be one that we will stand for certain principles and values, in particular territorial integrity and not invading countries. And it's one thing to kind of overthrow a dictator. It's another thing to go in and kind of annex their territory, I think. I think we have to kind of stand for those values, but I think in terms of American policy, it's going to be difficult. We may put on sanctions. John McCain talked about using this, modifying this one bill we have in Congress to put sanctions on Russian elites to include not just crimes against humanity and violations of human rights, but also in this case, aggression. So you might see the United States are imposing sanctions upon Russians.
Ben in Grand Forks, if you could ask a quick question, we'd appreciate it. You're on with Dr. Thomas Ambrosio.
Hi. Do we really need to go back to World War II, or does this look a lot like Czechoslovakia?
Yeah, actually, in some ways, I mean, the Russians, I think, would see it like Czechoslovakia in 1968. It was their sphere of influence anywhere. And the Russians are simply restoring it. But Ukraine is a separate country. There's a treaty between the two. And this is not like 68 in the exact same way. But I think your comparison is a good one, though.
Thank you, sir, as always.
Thank you.
And I always say this every time you're on, is you need to come and just have a talk about rainbows and sunshines and unicorns.
I know. We'll have a rainbow talk one day.
I'm looking forward to it. Or we could talk Derby Girls. We could do that
as well.
I could
always get Derby Girls. I know a lot of them.
You have an inside track to the Derby Girls, from what I understand. Thank you, sir. Dr. Thomas Ambrosio, NDSU, professor of political science.